Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Okay. Turn. Let's see your pens. Who's got a pen? Pen. Very good. Get out your notes because we got some notes to take. Turn to the book of Ruth. 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 Chapter 2. Next week, the title of my message is Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. So you can imagine what we're going to talk about. But specifically, one of the many topics for next week is homosexuality. And some of you have friends who are gay, and we want to minister to them. So next week will be, you can bring them any week, but next week we're going to be specifically talking about that. Some of you in here may have those feelings and be confused about them. Hopefully next week the Lord will clear that up for you. I could tell you this is not going to be a night of bashing anybody. We're going to talk about what the Bible says, but God wants to love people and heal them and restore them, and that's going to be our purpose for next week, amongst other things that we're going to talk about. I'm going to need your participation tonight, though, and I want to have all the guys in here, and I want to hear some bass. I want all the guys in here to say, Bo. On three. 1, 2, 3. Okay, that's pretty good, but kind of weak. I want to hear it. Sit up and straighten in your seat. Pronounce your vowels. Get some oxygen in your lungs. And everybody in here say, Bo. On three. 1, 2, 3. Bo. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I sort of heard a little high voices mixed in there. I don't know if there's a puberty thing or what. But so let's try that one more time. Just fake it if you don't have any bass. You know what I'm saying? When I do this with teenagers, they go, Bo. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, okay, good, okay. Ladies, I need you to say, this story is about a man named Boaz and a woman named Ruth. So I want you to say with a real high, sweet voice, Ruth, R-O-O-F, Ruth. Okay, like a little flute. Ready, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, so sweet, ain't that nice? Okay, all the fellas, now don't yell Bo. Give me Bo. Strong power, okay? 1, 2, 3. Yeah. 1, 2, 3 for the ladies. 1, 2, 3. Okay, now, very good. Isn't that nice? Fellas, and ladies, you can react to this all you want. Matter of fact, I'd rather you boo when I say what I'm getting ready to say. Fellas, in this love story we're going to look at, this love story, we are going to teach you guys in here how to get your woman to bow at your feet. Bo, that's right. All the fellas on three. 1, 2, 3. That's right. That's right. Ladies, before you start getting attitude and walking out, we are going to teach you how to get your man to do for you all that you ever ask him to do. Can I get a Ruth? 1, 2, 3. That's right. That's right. Now, the dilemma that some of you guys have is that you can want your woman to bow at your feet, but the issue is, are you man enough to do what it takes to get your woman to bow at your feet? That's going to be the big question. And ladies, our memory verse for the week, though, let me turn to chapter 3, verse 11, because this is our memory verse for the week. And look what it says. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of the town know you're a virtuous woman. That's our memory verse, okay? But we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 1. Before I read the story, let me tell you a little story. I was driving to Azusa up the 15 freeway, and I was in the speed lane going the allowed 9 miles over the speed limit. And and there was a dog on the opposite side of the freeway running across. And you ever see a dog run, they bobbed their head like this. And I said to myself, Snoop Doggy Dog ain't going to make it from over there to over here. So I kept watching this dog. I knew he was going to hit by a car. So he ran across the opposite side of the freeway, came across the middle. Then he came on my side of the freeway, and he was still about 300 feet ahead of me. He went across my lane, went into the third lane, the next lane. And then when he got into the next lane, there was a young lady in a Fiero, and she was 300 feet ahead of me. And she was driving, you know, the steering wheel's way up here. And the dog ran right in front of a car. She slammed on her brakes, smoke came from her tires, and she killed the dog. And so I slowed down, drove next to the dog, rolled down my window, said, told you weren't going to make it across the freeway. No, I'm only kidding. But I did end up speeding up, and the girl slowed down. So I ended up next to her, and she was crying. Her face was all red. You know, she just murdered this dog. She should be sad. But I thought to myself, you know, if the girl or the woman saw the dog when it was on the other side of the freeway, she wouldn't have killed it. But because she was only looking at what was right in front of her, by the time she saw the dog, it was too late. When you talk about sex, dating, and love, and all these issues we're going to talk about for the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks or so, you have to understand, you have to look at the big picture. You can't focus on what you feel or what you think or what other people around you are doing or what you see on television. You have to understand that God created man, he created woman, and he created the dynamic between the two, and he says, this is how you do it. If you don't see it that way, you're going to be like that dog. You're going to be dead. And I'm not talking about getting your heart broke. I'm talking about dead. I was in a high school in Philadelphia. 300 kids gave blood. Out of 300 kids, 90 were HIV positive. They didn't know that. They thought, you know, I'm doing what everyone else is doing. I'm just responding to my feelings. But little did they know that they are good. And they may, this was years ago, so they may be dead by now. But what happened was they would just respond on what they were feeling and what they thought, what their friends thought. We have to understand the big picture is God's. So what we're going to look at for these next 5 weeks, we're going to look in the Bible. What is love? What is sex? We're going to talk about sexual addictions. We're going to talk about rape, incest, masturbation, abortion, marriage, dating, all the stuff that I could think of. Okay? It's all in here, right in this book. Okay? Are y'all with me? Oh, amen. I don't know if I want to come to this one. But here's the goal. The goal is that you have the most dynamic, passionate relationship that God can bring into your life. That's the goal. That you have the most dynamic, passionate, loving relationship that you can have. And once you get married, let me tell you something. Sex is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. Okay? It's a great thing. God created it, and he said it was good. And he was right. Verse 1, chapter 2. It says, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. All the fellas say Bo on three. One, two, three. Okay. And it says, Ruth, all the ladies say Ruth on three. One, two, three. Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. Ruth married Naomi's son. Her husband died. She goes to live with her mother-in-law. They are poor. And she says, I need to go out and basically beg and glean heads of grain because we have no money. If you were farming, a farmer, which Boaz was, and you had an apple tree and you pulled the apple off the tree and an apple fell on the ground as a result, you could not pick that apple up and sell it. You had to leave it there for poor people to come and glean. So what Ruth said is, let me go glean and pick up whatever's left behind for us poor people. That's what she says. So she's going to crawl around on her hands and knees all day. It was dirty, dangerous work. All the poor people out there, they're trying to get what they can, and they don't have any food, and it's whatever's left over. They first come, first serve. So what Ruth says, let me go glean wherever I can go. In verse 3, it says, she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. They said, what's happening to you too? And Boaz said to the servant who was in charge, yo, who's that sweet thing over there? Okay, it's Bible way of saying, whose woman is this? And the servant who was in charge of the reapers said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little while in the house. First point I want to make is, ladies, all of you in here, and many of you are married, so this particular point will apply more to you single girls. You want a good man? Be a good girl. Bottom line. You know what this woman did? This woman said, I'm not going out here to get a man. I'm not going out here to get a husband. I'm going out here to do my job. I have to go out here and work day and night to get our food. And a lot of young girls think, if I get a good guy, my problems are going to be solved. I'm going to be in love. He's going to take care of me. It never happened that way. You get a guy, you just got whole new problems. That's a gospel truth. Amen, ladies? Amen. My wife got me. She got a whole new set of problems. Now, it doesn't mean that a guy is a bad thing or having a guy is a bad thing, but it ain't the answer to your problems. God is. God is. What has God called every single one of you ladies to be and to do? Forget boyfriend. Forget husband. Forget fiance. What has God called you to do and be? Don't look to that man for that answer. You look to God for that answer. And this woman right here, the Bible says that she worked day and night. She was focused. She wasn't distracted. She wasn't trying to take a shortcut. And my challenge to all you ladies, especially as it pertains to dating and love and feeling pretty and feeling valued, get that from G-O-D. Because if you get it from a man and the man goes away, then you got problems. Let the man's affection and the man's compliments and the man's love be gravy on your life. Say, Lord, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to know what you called me to do. I know what you're going to call me to be. And that is what's going to satisfy me. That's what's going to fill my cup. That's what's going to bless me. This woman all day and night, all day, the Bible says, she rested only a little while, but she worked all morning. Look at verse 8. Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and glean in any other field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young woman. And let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young women have drawn. Fellas, look at verse 10. She fell on her face and bowed to the ground. Boom! You know what the world will tell you? You tell your woman to bow at your feet. You tell your woman to respect you. But what God is telling you, you want them to respect you? You respect them first. You want them to honor you? You honor them first. You want them to look up to you? You look up to them first. Look what he says. He did all this stuff for her. She fell to the ground and she says, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should notice me and take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Let me tell you something. My wife honors me. I can wake my wife up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Debbie, get up. She'll wake up. Yeah, y'all know y'all drool too, okay? Say, honey, I'm kind of thirsty. Can you get me some water? You know what my wife would do? She would get out of that bed. She'd walk around to my side of the bed. You want some water, baby? Bye! Get it yourself, fool. She will walk her little pretty self down the stairs, get that cup of water, and bring it to me. You know why? Because she knows by experience that I have and will do it for her. Fellas, you want to get a woman to respect you? You better get on your horse and start respecting her. You know, the Bible says that a man, in Ephesians, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. As Christ is the head of the church, he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be to your own husband. Fellas, if she ain't your wife, you ain't got no authority. Bam. So, girlfriend, if you got a boyfriend, if he tells you to do something, you go, give me the ring, baby. It says, but look what it says right here. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself over for her. What did Jesus do for the church? He died for her. Hey, fellas, you ready to die for your wife? Don't tell me. Tell her by your actions. If your wife knows you're ready to die for her, she'll bow to your feet. She'll respect you. Not 1 second before. And you don't deserve it 1 second before. That's a Boaz. See, what Boaz did is Boaz saw Ruth. He did not know her personally. And he said, here are all her needs. She needs water. She needs food. She needs protection, security. So what he did before he even met her, he took care of all that. And then he went over to her. He didn't go over and say, yo, babe, what's your name? You know, I'm Boaz. I own all this stuff. You know, you want all this right here? He didn't say that. He didn't say that. You know, guys like that, they got that chest all open. They got a little bird chest, you know, and a little gold chain on it. Hey, what's up, babe? You know, me and you. And you're supposed to be impressed. He says, Ruth, you're hungry, right? Stay in my fields. I got all kind of food here, grain. You're thirsty? Water's over there. See those guys? I already told them to leave you alone. See those women? They work for me. You stay near them and everything will be fine. She was like, you the man. Hey, fellas, you got a reputation of blessing women, honoring women, respecting women, looking after them, not talking behind their back, not telling dirty jokes. Let me tell you something. They will line up at your door. They will line up at your door. Bless them. You don't got to bless them with a whole lot. Just bless them with respect. And yet the world's telling you to try to take advantage of them, manipulate their mind. I remember the first time when I went on a date, the first time my wife gave me a kiss. It wasn't really a kiss. It was a little, you know, one of them sympathy pecks. I played a game, and I knew the game I was playing. And I manipulated. It was a long time ago, so I'm not the dog I was, but at the time, bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay, you know? And it was a little manipulating game. Boaz says, I'm going to take care of this, take care of this, take care of this. Respect your girl. Respect women as God says. And look what it says. She fell on her face and bowed to the ground. The title of my message is Bo Knows Women. And what Bo knew, what Bo knew was the need of this woman. Problem is, guys, and I say we because I'm still much learning, we don't understand women. We think they think like us. They don't. They don't. And we start talking later on about sex and lust and love and all those kind of things that we're going to talk about. They think very much the opposite. And the little simple things that we don't have to muscle into their life will bless them. You could. I was teaching at a Bible school here in San Diego. It was a little class, 30 people. And this guy was sitting in the second row holding this girl's hand. He was all smiling. I said, you got a girlfriend, honey? He said, yeah, it's my girl. I said, finally, you know, 25 years old, finally. And he said, I said, have you bought her a rose? He said, a rose? He says, why? I was like, you're stupid. Buy that girl a rose, fool. Next class, I said, did he buy you the rose? Have you ever seen the cartoons where when the cartoon character smiles and the teeth are wider than the head? This girl was so happy she got this rose. You know what? We don't understand girls, and girls are so, women can be pleased so much by a man just respecting them and doing the simple, simple little things. You might think something silly like this. You can take a little piece of paper like this. This big. This don't cost anything. You could rip it off your neighbor's notebook. Okay? And you could write a girl's name in here. And my wife's name is Debbie. Dear Deb, I'm thinking about you. You know, and guys think, what's that? Did I hear it right? Girl be like, I know some of y'all fellas are like, I don't get it. That's the problem. You don't get it. That's the problem. The girl wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, turn the light on just to read this little, oh! Boaz, he understood all that. So he took care of all her needs. Is it work? Does it take time? Thinking, studying, reading books, praying, getting words of knowledge to understand women? Yes. Do it. Do it. Do it. As a husband, as someone who's always trying to improve on my husbandness, I have to always be thinking, okay, what do you want to do? How can I help you? You know, and believe me, I'm far from perfect. But I tell you what, I'm better than I was 5 years ago. And Boaz, he knew. And look what it says in verse 11. This is a good part right here. It says, Boaz answered, and said, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." You know what she said? He said, "Ruth, I did a background check on you. Before I even came up to you, I asked him, and I got all the information I could about who you are." Let me tell you something. When no one's looking, when you're not here at church, what are you doing? Many of y'all out there sinning. Live together, you sleep together, you all kind of do dirty. God knows. If you live a sinful life, why should you expect spiritual blessings? Those two things cannot mix. You have to decide that when no one's looking and when the real truth comes out about your life, it's pure before God. Bottom line. And so if you're living a dirty life, a sinful life, if you're compromising God, don't expect God to bless you like you see other people getting blessed. When I first started the Bible study at my house, there were these three girls. Well, actually, there was a bunch of girls, but there was these four girls. Four of them actually came together. One was Chinese, one was Japanese, one was Filipino, and the other one was a combination of the first three. And they came, three of them came with palms, the stretch painted on, spandexes, hair all moosed out, bam, makeup, wow, lipstick all by their nose. It was all like, you know. Every week, low-cut stuff, Bible study. We were doing Bible study. No strobe lights, no dancing. This was Bible study. It was amazing because I would sit in our house. You know, we had all these kids. It was a great time. And I would look here and go, "What are wrong with these kids?" They would come there, you know. And I saw these four girls all the time. And I said, "Something's wrong with this picture because you got Larry, Moe, and Curly. And then you have Diane." Diane was the only one that seemed to be kind of understand what was going on. She was dressed a little different. Nothing wrong with makeup, but she had it, you know, basically on less seductive and El Cajon-ish. El Cajon Avenue-ish, I should say. That's what I meant to say. And so I said, "You know what? I'm going to go find out about Diane." And I started asking the kids on the block in the neighborhood about Diane because they knew her. And they said, "Oh, Diane's a good girl." I said, "What do you mean? She don't mess around." I said, "That's what I thought. If people were to ask about you and your private life, and even marry people in here, because some of you married people in here, you guys, some of y'all hooked on pornography, cheating on your wife, cheating on your husband, God knows. So if we did a background check and found out really what was going on, what would come up in the computer? Well, what came up on the computer about Ruth? You're a good girl. Everyone told me that you're a godly woman. Let me tell you something. You want to get a godly man? Have a godly reputation. You want to get a godly woman? Have a godly reputation. And if you want someone wants to take you out or date you, say, I'll call you. And you find out about them. There is information out there. Who did you date last, sir? Can I have her name and number? That's very easy. Oh, well, you know, things didn't go right. She ain't going to tell you anything good. Well, that's exactly what I want to hear. Can you give me her name and number? No? Well, guess what? You ain't getting mine. Let me tell you something. Save yourself the headache. Same thing with you ladies. Fellas, you think a girl's cute? Look, please get past all that and find out what they're like. Oh, man, take her to the club, give her a few beers, it's all over. That's all you got to do. Forget that church stuff. That's only good on Sunday morning. Let me tell you something. Clean up your reputation. Get your house in order. Ask yourself, what kind of person, what would people say about me if they went and ask my enemies and my friends? My enemies and my friends. She says, Ruth, listen, I know everything about you. And guess what? You worth it. Look what it says in verse 13. She said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." They go on a date. Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here, girl. Eat of the bread and dip you a piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. Now, this tells me two things about dating. One, you don't got to spend a lot of money on a woman. Look what they ate. Bread, vinegar. Can you imagine going on a date, getting all dressed up? Here's your drink, girl, some vinegar right there. That might kill some of them germs in your mouth because your breath is kicking like Jackie Chang, okay? So just down that. You give a little bread, a little vinegar. Sorry. But you know what else it tells me about dating? They were not alone. Now, this may sound very, very ridiculous, but if you are dating a guy, a person, guy, whatever you grab, whatever, girl, you know, whatever, and you guys get alone, and you're alone in a car, in an apartment for an extended period of time, something's going to happen. Am I saying don't be alone? I'm saying don't be alone. Let me tell you something. You may say, "Man, I'm 27 years old. What are you talking about?" What I'm talking about is that you're going to find yourself in trouble, and once that trouble happens, you ain't going to be able to take it back. It's going to ruin your life. It's going to ruin your life. We're going to see next week and the weeks later that sexual sin is the worst sin. It's worse than other sins. The Bible says so. The ramifications are lifelong, life-threatening. You have to ask yourself, is my goal in this relationship to get as close to the fire without being burnt, or to get as close to God? That has to be your, you have to ask that question. The Bible says you cannot scoop fire into your lap and not be burnt. So you can't play around with sin and not be burnt. It is impossible. The Bible says right here that they were around other people, and there were other people there, and it says that they were there together. You have to be very, very, very careful. The other thing I would say to you is that you should never be dating somebody that is not sold out for God. Not they're going to get saved, and even if they just got saved, you got to be careful. Let me read a verse to you. It says 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever." When they would take two ox and pull a plow, they would take one ox here and one ox here, and they would put a yoke on their neck and connect them. And they would walk together and pull a plow. And they would get an experienced ox with an untrained ox, and this experienced ox would train the inexperienced ox how to farm. And the Bible says, don't be yoked together with someone who doesn't know God. Because they're going to want to go that way, and you're going to want to go that way. Period. There is no excuse, no rationalization that can undo that verse. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord with Christ and the devil? What part has the believer with the unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God, which is you, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God said he was going to dwell with you and walk with you. Now, you may be saying, "Well, you know, my boyfriend say he just doesn't read his Bible, go to church, and doesn't want to do anything the Bible says." He ain't saved. He ain't saved. He's not committed to God. And even if he did pray the prayer and doesn't want to do that, he's not the one for you. Because all he's going to do, or if it's the other way around, she is going to pull you down. And if your relationship with them is more important to your relationship with God, you probably don't have a relationship with God. That's a decision you have to make. You say, "Well, yeah, I just love him. You tell me I had to break up with him." Get over it. Now, we're all old enough in here to know that we've all been through relationships before. And we're all in here old enough to know how painful those relationships were. And let me tell you something. Just because you get 25, 35, 45, 55, the pain don't change. It still ends up the same. And what I'm telling you now is that God is warning you. He's warning you. You find somebody that God has sent to you that can encourage your relationship with God. Forget how much fun you have and how much conversation you have, and sorry to say, but it's true, how much fun your sex is, which is sin in of itself. Forget all that. That is the devil's tools. You have to say, God, who is going to help me understand who you are? God will give you an attraction to the person he wants you to be with. He's not going to make you date someone you think is unattractive and you're not attracted to. It ain't going to happen. They got teeth growing out of their forehead. He'll make you like that. There's a guy across the street from me. I'm not going to say his name, but he always comes outside with his shirt off. And he has hair on his back. So I saw him yesterday, and I'm not going to say, let's just hypothetically say his name is Jim. I always call him Big Sexy. So right, he walks out, hey, Big Sexy, come over here, let me comb the hair on your back, you know. And he's like, you know, whatever. It's my way of saying, man, put your shirt on because you're making me sick, okay? If God wants you with someone like that, that's not going to bother you. You just get two combs, you know what I'm saying? Let me read a verse to you. 1 Kings chapter 11. Let me read a verse to you. It says, Solomon loved many foreign women as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Now let me explain something to you. People talk about interracial marriage. This has nothing to do with that, and it's going to explain it right here. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. That's all God cares about. Do you honor him or do you honor other gods? Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. His wives turned away his heart. His wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was his heart his father David. That's what God is talking about. I want you to honor me. Is that guy, that girl, that business partner, your friend who you hang out with going to turn your heart away from me? Get rid of him. Get rid of him. When I was right before I got saved, I had a friend named Danny. And me and Danny were like this. We did everything together. We did too much stuff together. We were together all the time. And he was one of the best friends I ever had. And when I got saved, couldn't hang out with him anymore. And I told him, I said, we can't hang out anymore. He said, why not? He says, because I'm saved. I don't do that stuff anymore. That was it. Boom. Now, what made it easy, he ended up... I think we played two more years together. So he was still in town for 2 years, then he moved away. But he was real promiscuous, real wild, and, you know. But you know what God said? That guy is going to drag you down. And that was it. Guess what God did? Gave me different friends. Was it the end of my life? No. Is it going to be the end of your life? No. You will think back to some of the people you hang out with, some of the people you date, once you get on God's track, and go, what was I thinking? I could tell you, you weren't thinking about God. You were thinking about you and your hormones and your imagination, because you knew it was never going to work anyway, but you kept trying to make it work. God said, listen, they're going to turn your heart away from me. I am the source of your joy. I am the source of your security. I am the source of love in your life. Jesus says, that's it. There is never going to come from a person like it could come from him. It won't. It won't. So right here, these guys are together, but it's like, hey, look, my commitment is to God first. Look what it says, verse 15. She arose up to glean, and Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And listen to this, fellas. Listen to what Boaz did. Let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not reproach her. Boaz was blessing this girl. Let the stuff fall by her. Give her some more. Make it easy. Hey, you want to get a woman to respect you? Bless her, bless her, bless her. Respect her, respect her, respect her. That's what you do. God will take care of everything else. If she starts taking advantage of you, you'll know. Just get rid of her. You'll know. You're not stupid. You bless her, you bless her, you bless her. That's what he did. He kept doing it over and over and over again. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. It says, now Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Basically, let me tell you how to get this man to marry you. Okay? She was trying to scheme. Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. That meant that he was up on top of a hill, and he had all the barley up there, and he was going to throw it up in the air all night, and the wind would blow away the chaff or the waste, and the kernels would come into a pile, and they would be there all night doing that, and then they would spend the night. So what she's saying is tonight he's going to be up there doing that. So here's what you do. Verse 3. Therefore, wash yourself, because you're kind of dirty right now. Anoint yourself, put on some perfume, and put on your best clothes. Go down to the threshing floor. Do not make yourself known until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down. You shall notice the place where he lies down. Go and cover his feet. Lie down, and he will tell you what you shall do. Hey. Verse 5. She said, all that you say I will do. Verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor, did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And Boaz had eaten, after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went down to lie at the end of the heap of grain. She came softly uncovered his feet and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, turned himself, and there was a woman lying at his feet. And he said, thank you, Jesus. No. I think that's real funny. I never get a good laugh from that. Anybody remember the movie, the show Love American Style? Us old people in here, remember? He's like, and this little, in Love American Style was like a, I don't even know how you compare it to anything now, but in the preview, in the beginning of the movie, when they had Love American Style, they show these little scenes. There's a little boy by his bed, and he's praying, and this girl dropped from the sky onto his bed. So he's like 10, and the girl's like 25, but he's like, thank you, God, you know. Anyway, that's what that reminded me of. I just don't get it. It's kind of over your head, whatever. Verse 9, he says, who are you? She says, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are my near kinsman, my close relative. What she didn't mean was, I want to have sex with you. What she meant was, I'm here to submit to you as a wife. Look what the Bible says. Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness in the end than in the beginning. In that you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, ladies, here's your verse. And now, my daughter, do not fear, don't worry, don't fret. I will do all for you that you request. For all the people of the town know that you are a virtuous, God-fearing, Bible-reading, church-going, ministry-doing woman. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows that you fear God, that you trust God, that you have faith, and you're out there trying to lure this person. You're out there trying to seduce this person. That your number one heart is God, and that you are faithful to him. And everybody knows that. And any guy would love to have you as his wife. Not, I will do all for you the request because you got an incredible figure. Beautiful hair, straight teeth, a nice car. No, you got a heart for God. If you got a heart for God, God will send you a guy with a heart for God. And you will know the difference. There was a girl in my youth group when I was a youth pastor years and years and years ago. And we had a semi-formal every 6 months or 8 months at our youth group, and no one had invited her. And she came, and she was all long face. And I had known her since she was like 10. I said, what's the matter? No one invited me to the semi-formal. So I put my arm around. I said, look around this room. I said, none of these guys in here are good enough for you. That's it. They're not good enough for you. And even though I know you would like to have someone take you now, God is going to hook you up with a bow later. She's married. She's happy. She's fine. But you know what? When you walk with God, that light scares away knuckleheads. It does. When I was in high school, I was a knucklehead. I did not know God. And there were these two girls in my high school. I don't even know their names. I don't even know if I ever knew their names. I used to see them all the time. And I always wanted to talk to them. Not to do anything with them. Something's different. And every time I would go near to talk to them or walk down the hall, something would just move me to the opposite side of the hallway. Just keep walking. Don't look. Don't talk to them. Stay away from them. You know those girls were Christians? They were Christians. They loved God. And God kept me away from them because I was not ready to be with. And I really wasn't interested in dating either one of them. It was just something about it that was attracting me but keep me away. They didn't need me. They weren't missing out on anything by not knowing me. And you're not missing out on anything by not knowing that guy that don't know God. You want the guy who knows God, who respects your godliness. First order of business, get your godliness in order. Then next, let God handle the rest. He will handle the rest. And the Bible says, listen, I'll do anything you want. When's the last time you asked God or wanted a man to do that for you and you tried to manipulate him to get him to do that? Forget manipulating. Pray. Pray that God will send you a guy who will hear God speak to him. Because you can't make it happen. Verse 12. Now it is true that I am your close relative, however there's a relative closer than I. Stay the night, in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty, good. But if he does not perform the duty, I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down. Look at verse 14. So she lay at his feet until morning. They're technically, they're kind of engaged. They're both adults. She's been married. Her husband died. And what'd she do? She laid at his feet. Oh, well, you know, Miles, we're going to get married, so it's okay that we sleep together. Oh, we love each other. It's okay we sleep. Oh, no, the Bible says sex before marriage is wrong, period, end of story. There is no circumstance where you can rationalize that away. She laid his feet, not next to him, on top of him, under him, around, at his feet, which is the act of submission, which is why she uncovered his feet. And she said, just lay there and we'll take care of business. I have been asked so many times, how far can I go? Can we kiss? Can we do this? Well, this one girl asked me one day, she says, can I kiss my boyfriend? Is it okay for me to tongue kiss my boyfriend? I said, well, when you finish kissing, are you still dressed? She said, 3 months later, she was pregnant. I said, you've been kissing your boyfriend? Let me tell you how far you can go. You can do anything you want as long as you don't lust in your heart. The Bible says in Matthew 25, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord with all your heart. Wrong verse. Matthew 5:27. You have heard that it said, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman or a man, for that matter, and lusts, has committed adultery in his heart. If your eye caused you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It's more profitable that one member perish than for your whole body to be cast in hell. Does that mean you pluck your eye out? No, it means you walk around like this, though. How you doing? It's nice to meet you. I really, really appreciate you. Whatever causes you to have a strong desire in your heart to do something that is sinful, that is too much. For some of us, it's holding hands. Don't hold your hand, your girlfriend, because you know what you're thinking. For some of you, you can't even talk to them on the phone. Is that ridiculous? No, it's ridiculous that you can't talk to them on the phone without lusting. That's the ridiculous part. And if you ask yourself that question, you say, man, that means I can't even talk to them. I can't look at them. That means you got a lust problem. That means you got a lust problem. That don't mean the Bible's extreme. That means you got an extreme problem. They didn't do anything. Another question I wanted to answer is, how you know a guy loves you? Because it kind of all goes in the hand. And ladies, if you have a pen, please write this down, especially if you're not married. If a guy ever tells you he loves you, you have to ask this one very, very simple question. Is he able and willing and committed to to helping you obey God. See, the Bible says the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The Bible says to love God is to obey God. Matthew 22:37 says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. 1 John 5:3, to love God is to obey God. That means if I love myself, which the Bible says I need to, because I need to love you like I love myself, I need to be committed to obeying God. If I obey God, my life is going to be as blessed as it ever can be. That's the gospel truth. So if I want to be blessed as all I can be happy, godly, on focus for my purpose, life's purpose, all I got to do is love God, which means all I got to do is obey God. If I say I love all of you, all that means that the basic biblical foundational truth of what that means is that I want to help you and committed to helping you obey God. That's what love is. If I try to manipulate you to do something for me, that's not love. That's selfishness. So if you have someone in your life, just ask yourself, step back. As Jane Brown said, kiss myself. But just step back. Step back and say, is this person able? Are they able? Do they know this book? Are they willing to learn this book? Are they committed to this book? And are they able to help me and assist me in obeying God? Because if they are not, they're going to pull me away from God. There is no neutral. So, Miles, they prayed at one of your services. Are they committed to this? What does praying at one of my services mean anything? Are they committed to the book? Fellas, as husbands, we have to help our wives obey God. We have to help our wives obey God. That's why we pray with them. That's why we read the Bible with them. That's why we talk about the Bible. That's why we're an example. If you're dating somebody, right now, think in your mind, man, they don't know jack about the Bible. And they don't want to know about the Bible. Let me tell you where your relationship's going. Pain. 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 Whether you walk with God or not, it's going to pain until they change or you break up. Bottom line. He says, we're not going to do anything. My time is running out, so I'm going to get to this real quick. It says, also he said, bring the shawl that is on you. And when she held it, he measured out 6 ephahs of barley, laid it on her. Then she went into the city. He continued to bless her. Married men, bless your wife today. Do something for her without her asking you. Go buy her rose, buy her breakfast, wash the dishes. Let me tell you something. Washing the dishes and vacuuming does wonders. I'm telling you, does wonders. We'll get to that in another session later on. When she came to mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? And then she told her all that the man had done. And she said, these six ephahs of barley he gave to me. For he said, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, and this is the verse, these last verse. Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out for the man. Everybody say man. Say man. Not boy. Now, you could be 35 years old, making $300,000 a year, be in shape, have a nice house and 2 cars, you could still be a boy. Just because you're older doesn't make you a man. Okay? You know what the Bible says about Goliath? That he was a man of war since he was a boy. He was a man when he was a boy. And I know boys who are men, who are old. So it says, wait until the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Naomi said to Ruth, relax. That man will do what he's supposed to do. Boys do what they want to do, and when they don't get their way, they complain. I think I need to say that one again, huh? Boys do what they want to do, and when they don't get their way, they complain. Men do what they have to do. They do what's responsible. 1 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to read this verse to you. David is talking to Solomon, and he says, I go the way of the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. Look what he says. Prove yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways. Be a man. Fellas, be a Boaz and say, I am going to be a man of God. I'm going to deny myself, my desires, my urges. God created those urges, and he has a way of fulfilling them and satisfying them. Trust him. And ladies, be a Ruth. Be a virtuous woman. God will handle it. As we're going to look at in about a month, we're going to look at Adam and Eve. Adam was doing when God brought him Eve? Sleeping. Eve had to be the most beautiful woman ever to live. She had to be. This is my opinion. The Bible doesn't say this. But she had it. She was perfect. She had no sin. And the Bible says, she was naked. I mean, think about that. We got a good God. And Adam was doing nothing. He was sleeping. And he woke up and said, man, thank you, God. Thank you. I'm going to tell you a little story. I got to figure out who you all know that I could tell this story about. The guy who was wrapping up here, his name is Danny. He was he's really 35 years old. You know the guy that was standing right here with the white shirt? Okay. And when he was, he's married. How many kids you have? Two. Cute little girls, right? They're both girls, right? Are they here? Okay. And when he was in high school, he could never get a date. He was ugly. You know, I have to say something to you ladies. Guys can say that stuff and it don't bother us. You know, when y'all say that about each other, y'all go, oh, I'm ugly. For us, it's like, hey, you know, we're ugly, right? Aren't you glad I think you ugly? I mean, if I said he was cute, we'd have problems. So he ended up going he joined the Navy and they sent him overseas. And when he went overseas, he joined his pen pal service. And he started writing to this girl. And he had never seen her. No pictures. She said, I'll write you only under the condition that we never exchange pictures and there's no future. We're just pen pals. He said, cool. So for 3 years, he wrote her. And he started to get attracted to her through the letters and her heart and, you know, her words and her passion. So he says, look, I'm getting out and I know we agreed not to meet and not to get together, but I really think I love you and I want to meet you. She wrote back, I feel the same way. So she said, meet me down at the trolley station. Okay, problem number one, she's at the trolley station. She said, meet me at the trolley station. I'm going to be the woman with the red rose in my hand. So he gets all his clothes. He takes, you know, shower, gets his hair done, you know, puts all his, you know, he goes down. He's all nervous because he ain't never had a woman, right? 24 years old. And he goes down. He's nervous, you know, sweating his hands. He's looking for this woman with the red rose. He's walking. He's getting closer, and he sees this woman with the red rose. But she ain't cute. I mean, her arms, like Magilla, the knuckles are dragging on the ground. You know, she got the rose way down here, you know what I'm saying? She's got the teeth growing out of her forehead, the hair on her back, you know. And she's like, hey, 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 hey. He's like, man, what's up, God? So he starts walking towards her. And as he's walking towards her, he's kind of bummed, but he's excited. He sees this woman in the green dress. She's fine. She's walking right towards him. Bam, 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 bam. And he's like, God, why couldn't it be that one? And she's looking at him. He's looking at her. And he's like, man, he's looking over at Magilla. He's looking at her. He's like, God. And he's like, forget that. I think this woman's interested in me. She's fine. She walks by, and he walks by, and he stops, turns around. She looks at him, and he goes, no, I fell in love, not with a pretty face. I fell in love with a heart. I fell in love with her mind. I fell in love with her compassion, sensitivity. And I'm not going to go after looks because who knows what's under those looks. So he went over to the girl with the red rose. And the woman in the letters by name was Mary. He went over and said, I'm Danny, you Mary? She said, what? She goes, aren't you married? You wrote me those letters and, you know, I just love you. And she says, no. Mary told me to hold this rose. She's the woman with the green dress. Hey, ladies, there's a guy out there just like that. Don't settle for anything less than that. You cannot get that guy on your own. Forget it. I preached at this church one day, and this woman came down with her 20-something-year-old daughter, and her daughter was like this. And you know, when you see the daughter or the son, look, you know the mom is getting ready to do something real embarrassing. So I'm like, how can I help you? She says, how can my daughter get a man like you? I was like, now what am I supposed to say? Oh, Kmart, they have sales every week, you know what I'm saying? What's going on now? It's in the paper. My wife was there, and I told my wife. My wife's like, she should have come and asked me. I'll straighten her out. Let me. You can have in your mind what you think is a perfect guy, a perfect girl, and you can have in your mind what you want them to look like, sound like, da-da-da-da-da. You don't know. Only God knows. You can't get them. Only God can bring them to you. And only by doing faithfully what God said. And once you get them, you have to continue to do what God says to keep them happy and blessed and honored and respectful and to keep that relationship happy. I've been married for 16 years. Just had my 16th anniversary just 3 weeks ago. 16 years. And you know what? It is work on both parts to keep it going. It's work. It's fun work. It's fulfilling work if you do it God's way. But if you have a guy and a girl that's not committed to that, it's never going to work. Yeah, you can crash and burn for 20 years, but you're not going to be what God wants. Ruth and Boaz got married. Their grandson was King David. Let's pray. I know we'll do it another time. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for love, intimacy, dating. I thank you that you made women. I know they're thankful you made men. Lord, may we be committed to being pure and holy. May the men be committed to being a Boaz. May the women be committed to being a virtuous Ruth. And may we wait patiently for you to do what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, 8:30 and 10:30, let's all stand and sing a song.